Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're cutting through the noise in commercial real estate today, aiming to give you the critical insights you need.
And today, we've got a really specific mission.
That's right, a deep dive into the dynamic and sometimes paradoxical world of retail. We're putting a laser focus on the incredible activity happening right now in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Yeah, it's crucial to set the stage first with the macro environment. We just saw the Federal Reserve make that 25 basis point rate cut, you know, 0.25%.
Right, bringing the target federal funds rate down to that 4.00% to 4.25% range.
Exactly. And this has happened while inflation is still, frankly, quite high, 2.9%, and we're seeing national job growth slow down noticeably.
So the usual signs would point towards caution, maybe pulling back a bit?
That's the typical pattern, suggests caution. Mm. But what's fascinating and what our sources are really highlighting is how localized retail real estate fundamentals are pushing back.
Especially here in North Texas, right? Mm-hmm. It seems like those local strengths are powerfully overriding the broader economic headwinds.
Mm-hmm. Precisely. It means we've got almost two different stories running at the same time.
Okay, so that's our mission today then. We need to synthesize these signals, look at the national retailer earnings, compare that with the local DFW development data.
Yes, and show you exactly why the North Texas retail market is proving so resilient. We want to provide that authoritative, data-backed perspective you really need for this specific market.
All right, let's unpack this. Starting with that national retail paradox, the Q2 earnings reports really laid it bare, this landscape split between value and discretionary spending.
That polarization is absolutely the headline, the overwhelming strength. It's concentrated in those value-driven formats.
Because consumers are reacting to things like high housing costs, inflation.
Definitely, they're trading down. And interestingly, this is happening across almost all income levels, not just lower brackets.
And we can see the proof in the off-price segment results, can't we? Burlington, for example.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Burlington reported total sales up an incredible 10%. And their comparable same-store sales, the comps, you know, the standard measure for existing store health, they were up 5%.
And they improved margins in this environment. That's pretty remarkable.
It is. And it's not just them. TJ Maxx, they reported a solid 4% increase in same-store sales. Ross Stores saw comparable growth of 2%.
What's fascinating here, I think, is that this isn't purely an apparel story. It goes deeper into necessity retail.
Absolutely. Look at warehouse clubs. BJ's wholesale posted comps of 3.2%. Costco. Well, Costco was up 7%, and that's excluding their gasoline sales.
Hold on. 7% comps for Costco. That's massive. Is that purely people consolidating spending, or are specific value grocers really grabbing market share?
It's a bit of both, but you're right to point out the grocers. Value-oriented players like Publix and Sprouts saw exceptional same-store sales growth. Publix was up 6%, Sprouts hit 10%.
Wow, 10% for Sprouts. That suggests they're really capturing share, maybe appealing to that cost-conscious but health-focused consumer.
That's a critical point. Yes, the broader eating-at-home trend helps everyone, but 10% comps strongly suggests Sprouts is aggressively taking share. It just reinforces the main theme. Provide value, provide necessity, and you win right now.
And the pressure point then falls squarely on the discretionary side.
Entirely. Retailers leaning heavily on apparel, general merchandise, they're facing serious margin erosion. Target is a key example.
Right. Their comparable same-store sales declined by 1.9%, and traffic fell, too, by 1.3%.
And we had similar stories from other discretionary giants. Nike, Under Armour, Crocs, all flagging significant headwinds, citing that consumer caution.
And layered on top of this caution are external costs, specifically tariffs. That came up a lot in Q2 earnings calls, didn't it?
A major talking point, absolutely. Even the high performers like Dollar Tree, which actually had strong comps, up 6.5%, they warned about tariffs. They saw a benefit from timing earlier, but expect that to reverse later in the year.
And Burlington, too. Despite those fantastic sales numbers you mentioned?
Yes, even Burlington noted incremental tariff pressures coming in the back half of the year. And they admitted they couldn't entirely offset those pressures just through supply chain efficiencies.
So what's the real estate implication of all this tariff talk and margin pressure?
Well, the direct implication is margin compression. And that means retailers become ruthlessly selective about where they choose to expand or open new locations.
And for consumers, probably higher prices.
It translates directly to higher prices in many cases. We saw companies like The Buckle explicitly state they were implementing low to mid single digit price hikes specifically because of margin erosion.
So if a retailer has to raise prices, they need to be absolutely certain that new store location justifies the higher overhead. They need high volume, probably necessity-driven traffic.
Exactly. They need that confidence in the location's performance.
Okay, so that national picture, that polarization, it sets up the second half of our story perfectly. Because while margins are tight nationally, that hasn't seemed to cool the appetite for prime physical space, especially in high-growth markets.
That's right. Nationally, leasing activity actually hit 51.1 million square feet in Q2 2025. That's the highest level we've seen in over 3 years.
But DFW isn't just participating in that trend. It's leading it.
It is leading, significantly. North Texas is, without exaggeration, the retail construction epicenter of the entire nation right now.
Just put that in perspective for us.
Okay, so Texas overall has about 17 million square feet of retail construction underway. DFW alone accounts for more than 41% of that entire state activity.
41%. That's an enormous concentration of capital and, frankly, risk in one metro area.
It is. It's a huge bet on continued growth.
You know, we specialize in DFW retail, and even we sometimes have to ask, is there any concern among lenders or developers that DFW might be nearing a saturation point? Or does the data truly show the population influx is absorbing this new supply sustainably?
Well, based on the confidence we're seeing from major players, the big anchors, the developers, the consensus seems to be, yes, the population influx is absorbing it.
And where is that construction focused?
It's heavily focused on neighborhood and community centers, particularly in those areas seeing rapid rooftop growth. And critically, over 40% of this current construction wave is concentrated in just one area, Collin County.
Collin County. So they really are, as you said earlier, skating to where the puck is going. Straight towards that massive suburban expansion.
That's precisely the strategy. Follow the rooftops, follow the growth.
And that focus on population growth is clearly visible in the anchor tenants committing to these new developments. Kroger's a great example.
Yes, Kroger CEO recently stated they expect to increase their national store openings by 30% in 2026. And we see that playing out locally.
Where specifically in DFW?
They're executing that strategy with new stores targeted directly at booming submarkets. Think North Fort Worth, Anna, Little Elm, Aubrey. These are necessity anchors following that residential density.
It's not just groceries either, is it? We're seeing other categories betting big, too.
Correct. Take EOS Fitness. It's a major fitness chain, and they plan to open 27 new gyms across Texas over the next 3 years. That shows immense confidence in the state's long-term trajectory.
And they're committing right here in DFW.
Absolutely. We're seeing a new 40,000 square foot location planned for the Rosamond Corners Retail Center up in Anna. And interestingly, it's sharing a complex with a new Kroger.
Ah, that kind of co-anchoring provides huge stability for local developers, locking in traffic from day one.
Precisely. It de-risks the project significantly.
Okay, let's shift gears slightly and talk about the dynamics of store portfolio changes. This is where retail restructuring creates very immediate, very practical opportunities for commercial real estate owners and investors.
Absolutely. It's not always about building new. Sometimes it's about repurposing existing space or dealing with turnover. This can offer real speed to market.
Like brand resurrections using existing footprints.
Exactly. A major example right now is the ambitious rebirth of Bed Bath & Beyond Home. The plan is to convert most of the 309 existing Cucklands Home stores over the next 24 months.
And they've tested this already?
Yes. Following successful initial conversions they did in Tennessee, this provides a massive sort of ready-made tenant pipeline for existing retail centers. It avoids those lengthy ground-up construction timelines.
But, you know, where there's expansion and resurrection, there's also sometimes contraction. Turnover is part of the cycle.
It is. The entertainment segment, for instance, recently saw the Fort Worth location of Pinstripes, that bowling bistro concept, shutter.
Right. That was part of their Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing, a restructuring move.
Correct. And that immediately opens up a prime spot, a two-story, 30,000 square foot complex right there at the shops at Clear Fork, a very desirable location.
And this turnover leads to another interesting dynamic, especially concerning land value. The idea of converting some retail assets into what's essentially industrial dirt.
Yes, that's a fascinating angle. We saw the Dallas area-based used car retailer Tricolor Holdings recently file for Chapter 7 bankruptcy. That's a liquidation, not a restructuring.
So they're vacating all their locations.
They're liquidating the business and vacating 64 leased dealerships nationally. And the real estate angle here, particularly in DFW, is incredibly valuable.
Because these vacated car dealerships often sit on large parcels of land in good locations.
Exactly. They offer large acreage, often in high-traffic infill locations, and those sites are immediately ripe for redevelopment.
And not necessarily as retail again.
Increasingly, no. They're trading as valuable industrial dirt because large, well-located tracts for modern logistics facilities, especially last-mile delivery centers, have become incredibly scarce in the DFW infill market.
So a vacant five-acre dealership site near a major highway in Dallas, it's not just viewed as a retail property anymore.
Not purely. It's viewed as a golden opportunity for industrial development. This scarcity is fundamentally pushing up land values for certain types of retail properties that might be facing contraction in their primary use.
That's a really interesting insight into how different commercial real estate segments intersect and influence each other in a mature, dense market like DFW.
It highlights the need to look beyond just the immediate use category.
Okay, so beyond these immediate turnovers and repurposing opportunities, let's look ahead at the major new developments anchoring future retail demand, specifically the big mixed-use projects.
Right. These multi-billion dollar hubs are actively creating dense residential and corporate populations, which in turn fuels retail.
And public transit expansion seems to be a major catalyst here.
It is. Consider Addison Junction. That's a $240 million mixed-use project going up right next to the new DART Silver Line station in Addison.
And what's planned there?
The plans include 30,000 square feet of entertainment space, restaurants, even a Texas-themed beer garden, plus office and hotel components. This mix guarantees significant foot traffic daytime from offices, evening from entertainment, and residential nearby. That's invaluable for retailers.
Meanwhile, over in Fort Worth, we're seeing massive ambition with the Westside Village project along the Trinity River.
Huge project. That's a $1.7 billion development. Phase I alone includes a 100,000 square foot trophy office building, but importantly, it has essential ground floor retail and two restaurant concepts baked in from the start, plus 308 luxury residential units.
These aren't just filling space. They're fundamentally reshaping the retail demand in their surrounding areas for potentially decades to come.
They really are anchors for future growth. And we have to emphasize the role of policy changes here, too, what we might call the multifamily catalyst.
You mean the new state law?
Yes, the new Texas law that now allows developers the right to build multifamily housing directly within commercial zones in large cities like Dallas and Fort Worth. This is a potential game changer for density.
And we're seeing developers act on this already.
We are. Look at the recent purchase of the 373-unit Infinity on the Mark complex in North Dallas, which is right near Texas Instruments. It's a prime example of developers moving aggressively to add residential density near existing employment centers and, by extension, existing retail.
So why does this policy change matter so much if you're a retail real estate professional or investor?
Well, basically, it helps guarantee long-term foot traffic, and it mitigates risk for retail assets. By allowing dense residential units within traditional commercial zones, you accelerate neighborhood density.
Which supports the viability of nearby retail centers.
Exactly. It ensures that the new construction we talked about, the Krogers, the EOS fitness locations, are surrounded by the population base they need to thrive. It helps insulate these retail assets from future economic swings.
Okay, so let's try and bring this all home. The big picture is retail certainly isn't dying, but it is intensely polarizing right now.
That's the key takeaway. You see the strength of value-driven formats, the off-price giants, the grocers, the warehouse clubs. That clearly shows consumers tightening their belts due to inflation, tariffs, general caution.
But if we connect this to the bigger picture for commercial real estate, especially here, DFW seems uniquely equipped to handle this polarization. Why? Because of its underlying growth.
Precisely. The region's rapid population influx, particularly focused in areas like Collin County, is what's fueling that necessity-based retail expansion by the major players, the Krogers, the EO fitnesses we mentioned.
So the market's ability to absorb new supply. I mean, being the national leader in retail construction, having over 41% of Texas's massive 17 million square feet underway, that demonstrates real confidence.
It demonstrates that while consumer caution definitely exists nationally, the flight to quality locations and strategic expansion in high-growth areas remains a top priority for capital. Retailers are being selective, but they are still expanding where the demographics make sense.
Which raises an important question, maybe a final thought for you, our listener, as you evaluate future opportunities in this market.
Considering DFW's dominance in retail construction and this recent policy shift promoting density,
which new submarket, maybe looking beyond the already somewhat saturated Collin County, seems best positioned to host the next wave of value-driven, necessity-based retail expansion? Where should you be looking?
Think about where that next wave of population growth is heading, and maybe where some of that valuable industrial dirt from older retail formats might get converted or redeveloped. That's where the opportunities might lie.